At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Peace, family, is 19 Keys with the 19 Keys podcast. You're listening to a high-level conversation. Tap in. All right, a word from one of our sponsors. Make sure you tap into Goldwater Products. After you come listen to the information, you're going to need your memory stimulated so you can download everything in that prefrontal cortex. You want to make sure that hippocampus area of your brain that regulates mood, memory, and learning is fully functional and tapped in. Therefore, you want to tap into Goldwater. They have Smart Moss, Sports Moss, Vitamin C Moss, Colloidal Silver. They have just about everything that you, your child, and your whole entire family needs to stimulate your brain and your body and to make sure that your immune system is functioning. Before you tap into this great high-level conversation, listen to this song by Tezu Kulando called Goldwater.
And let's begin. Peace and blessings, family. I'm 19 Keys. This is 19 Keys Podcast, where we have electrical thought patterns and enlightening conversations. Today, I find myself in South Africa, and it's Africa's tallest building, and I'm sitting here with some very smart, intelligent people. I'm going to go ahead and let them introduce themselves, and then we go break into a very powerful conversation and dialogue. Not only introduce your name, but also introduce what you're studying.
All right. I'm Kiamogetsu, which means I am welcome.
Okay.
I'd like to share that with the people. I'm from South Africa, and I'm currently studying metallurgical engineering.
Metallurgical engineer.
Yeah.
And my brother.
Sibanisa Mwalangeni. I got quite a few pronunciations. That's for fun, though. That's my handle. So I'm done. Actually, completed my mining engineering degree recently. So
powerful.
Yeah, looking forward to that, and our brother 19 Keys. Yeah.
Let's
keep it rolling.
First, I want to say something about your degrees and what you're studying, because those are not common ones that I actually hear, you know, metallurgy and mining engineering. A lot of times we hear, I know a lot of people that I know in America studying psychology or sociology or, you know, African-American studies and things of that nature. But you all actually study in a skill set that you can actually utilize to help build your country up.
Yeah.
And I think that's the important thing right now. Like, metallurgy, can you explain to people what that is, you know, the study of metals?
Definitely. Metallurgy is the study of metals and minerals. So basically what got me into metallurgy was that South Africa holds almost 90% of the world's minerals.
Mm.
So it only makes sense for me as a South African to know about the minerals that are on my land so that I can not only connect with my land, but also utilize what God has given us to bring us into a better place.
Right.
So that's why, like, metallurgy, I'm doing that. And yeah, metallurgy is just about the process of after the mining engineers have extracted the metals from the ground, we now transform it into things that we can use, products, and everything that is made out of metal, really. So
I find that extremely powerful, especially for myself. So I have Goldwater. I have a mineral supplement company, right?
Wow.
So we actually have Goldwater, and of course we're born with gold in our body, as I'm imagining you all should know.
Yes.
So the increasing of gold in your body electrifies your system, right? So when scientists were trying to figure out why is there gold in the body, and they found out that it has anti-inflammatory properties and it electrifies, you know, the nerves within your body.
Yeah.
So when you drink the gold, it actually stimulates the brain, the body, the mind, the spirit.
Yeah.
So our goal is to mineralize you, because we live in today a society that people are more afraid of chemicals or minerals than they are chemicals.
True, yes.
Right? And so you have to re-enlighten our people on the study of our nature.
Exactly.
Now, the important thing here, you can go ahead and take a look at the bottom.
Thank you.
But my brother, you're studying mining and engineering. And I find that so monumentally important because, you know, coming out of apartheid, coming out of, you know, colonialism and things of that nature, everybody has robbed Africa of its minerals, right? And a lot of it is because some of the time the people were ignorant of how enriching those minerals were and how to capitalize off those resources for ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So the fact that now you have the information and the knowledge and the know-how, you can now, you know, go to parts of land where people have those minerals and mine it for yourself.
Yes.
You know, because the British, the Indians, the Chinese, everybody's here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so now it's time for Africans to take back Africa and utilize the minerals for ourselves to build ourselves up. So why did you get into mining engineering?
It's a tricky one. It's a tricky one. But yeah, as you put it, bro, it's more of thinking broader. It's more of trying to understand the value of what you possess as a nation, as a country. You know, we poor not because we do not have things, because we don't understand the value of what we have.
Exactly.
You know, so the Westerners, they came, take gold, give us paper.
Mm.
It's not because we did not know what gold is or what gold does, but we never really, we had not exploited at that time. We never really got to understand the actual value which gold possessed. So if someone understood something better than you, they would do whatever they can to exploit you, because you understand what you have, but the amount or the value it possesses to other people.
Right.
Because to us, it could have been a golden stone, which was not. I mean, we use stones. I mean, we use copper, we use gold, everything, all the minerals we use. We even knew where to mine what for what.
Exactly.
Back in the days, we used spears. We used copper for them spears. There was mining. Actually, everything began with mining.
Yes.
Yeah, it did.
You know, that's an interesting point you bring up, because when colonizers come to any place, they make it seem as if they're civilizing and teaching the people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
But really, what they do is they rob the knowledge that the people
have,
right? And then they kind of repackage it and then try to resell it to the people after they rob them of their own culture and know-how. So it's amazing that a lot of people don't know how, you know, the quote-unquote woke a lot of South Africans are.
Yeah.
Because from the conversations I've had with you all are amazingly aware of what's going on in this country.
Yeah.
And I think that because in America, we wear our awareness with a sense of anger and pride at the same time.
Okay.
So you can, it's wearing on the faces.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but you all, I think, are at this point where you're just ready to move forward and build. So even though I'm sure that you all see colonizers the same way we do, the way that you go about moving forward, I think, is more progressive, because it's like, you know what? We know what happened, but now it's time for us to learn these skill sets. Now it's time for us to build. It's, what, 80%, you know, Africans out here, or more than that, actually. They say it was 13% white, and that number is even skewed because they're not really adding in the rest of the areas. They're just adding in this particular
areas. Yeah.
So, you know, that's how they skew it to make it seem like there's more. But even 80 to 90% African, why do you think that? You know, I know in America, they call it the United States, but it's a divided state.
Yeah.
You know, we're separated by states, cities, hoods, philosophy, spirituality, education levels, politics, you know, ideas on gender and sex. We're separated by all of these things.
Mm.
So before we can just see each other as brother and sister, It's the mindset that separates us. So we can never be the majority as long as we're divided.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So even though that across the planet Earth, black people make up the largest percentage of race, you know, on this planet Earth and melanated people, but if we're divided by all of these different things, West African, South African, East African, you know, that's how they keep us never collaborating and working with each other.
Yeah.
Right? So why do you think it is that today, or I should ask you today, what do you think that your generation would do differently than other generations have done in order to change, you know, what's happened and the status?
Okay, I don't know. Wanna jump in first? Or should I think it's gonna jump in first. I'm
like,
okay, but
I wanna hear the masculine, then I wanna hear the feminine.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess it's on what can you do better moving forward from now. So there's a lot. There's a lot, but actually there's very few we can do. Or it's less. It's not as big as people think it is. We come from a systematically ignorant generation.
Yeah.
Systematically ignorant in this sense. Our parents and the generation before us, they were rendered stupid. They were rendered ignorant. They had to be ignorant for the system to work.
Mm.
So you had to give them Bantu education.
Mm.
You had to separate them from a lot of things. Blacks, whites, you know. White people still couldn't beat the numbers we came out on whatever we had to compete with them, every time we'd come up top. That's why they had to divide us. Like,
right.
Reduce opportunities. Do not give us enough opportunities as you give
right.
the rest of the other race.
And like the education system was out here specifically was created to create an inferior education system to only make laborers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, not to make thinkers, independent thinkers, not to where you study in engineering and mining and metallurgy. No, it was only for you to become a worker, which is basically how our education system is set up as well.
But then the trick is now we are not that generation.
Right.
You and I and the rest. We are not. The problem is we've grown to fear our parents, not to respect them.
So I want
we are afraid of them.
I want to get something onto that point. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna ask you about this.
Mm-hmm.
This generation I believe is probably the greatest, most rebellious generation from indoctrination, traditionalism of their parents that enslaves us mentally.
Yeah.
Because we have open source knowledge, because we have collaboration of technology to where we can stream each other's consciousness and thoughts, it expands the mind and it is possible, impossible to put it back into this box to share the same paradigm as our parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
So one thing that I find out here is that a lot of South Africans and of course around the world as well is that you're not adopting the same Christian beliefs as your parents because it just doesn't make sense. Your mind is expanded too much to worship a white Jesus on a Sunday.
Yes.
And so now, what do you think that's going to do for, you know, South Africa going forward when there's different religious and spiritual practices that's now embedded into this generation?
Yeah.
For one, you know, besides like reshaping the minds of the children.
Mm.
But when it comes to wanting power, you know, the Christian man doesn't really want power over, you know, don't really tap into that godliness that they have, you know, because it gives that source outward to white supremacy, if you will. So now that we're tapping into some of that black excellent spirituality and godliness, how do you think that's going to change the landscape of Africa?
I think it's very important for us to actually keep it simple and to go back to the beginning. And that is actually us finding like our roots and who we are as a people and what our forefathers used to do. Like this conversation, this topic is actually very deep for me because I come from like a Christian home and I was one of the first children to be like, this is not for me. And my whole family like judged me. Like they had no idea what I was going through. They had no idea like what is this child going through. But
just being rebellious.
Yeah,
being
rebellious I was the rebellious child. I needed a pastor. I don't know how many times they got a pastor to me. to like holy water this child because we don't even know. And I kept telling my mom over and over again, like, I'm not going to follow something that doesn't resonate with me.
Yes.
And I will try everything in the world until I find that one thing that resonates with me. And I tried Buddhism and Hare Krishna and all these other things. And
yeah.
What the main thing that kept coming back was that I need to go back to who I am. Yeah. I need to come back to basics, come back to being simple. And that is understanding our minerals, understanding our ground.
Nature.
Understanding nature. Understanding our bodies and how our bodies actually work. What food do we eat? And how does that actually affect who we are as a people? That's Beautiful. Very important. You know what I mean?
You know, I grew up in a Muslim household, but black Muslim. So, black Muslim is a little more revolutionary because it's specifically tailored. For one, it was specifically tailored for the plight of black people to enlighten them with knowledge of self.
Yeah.
So we don't take on Arab ways, you know, and it's not an Arab religion. Arabs are not even the biggest amount of Muslims that practice Islam in the world. They've just sort of been branded as the Muslims.
Yeah.
But that's an ignorance of people who don't travel, you know, and who just take indoctrination and listen to programming.
Yeah.
But I know you all have heard of Malcolm X.
Definitely.
You know, you have the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Love
You know, Honorable
him.
Elijah Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
So we grew up in a household where I was taught that, you know, Islam is mathematics, mathematics is Islam. So I was taught to question everything. If it don't make sense, then I have to follow it.
Yeah.
You know, if my
yeah.
parents tell me something they can't explain, then I'm not going to believe it because it has to be steeped into truth instead of
yeah.
falsehood. You can't just say, don't question God, because if God got the answers, why can't I ask him questions?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You know,
it's,
like,
it's got all of them.
Right.
It's got all
Who
the
are you going to question if yeah. not God?
So, you know, we was taught that, you know, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, you know, he gave Islam to his people, which was a study of our nature,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he used it and created a religion out of it for his people to give them rules and order so that they can live civilized because they were so uncivilized.
Mm.
And so for me, Islam is just a study of our original nature. It's a way of life. I was always taught it's not a religion,
yeah.
but it was used as a religion for black people in America because growing up, you know, in America, you're going to be faced with so much systematic oppression,
yeah.
devilishment.
Yeah.
We had to take away from the slave.
You need a system yeah. to fight the
We
system.
Had to take away from the way that they taught us how to eat.
Yeah.
They taught us how to think.
Speak.
And so it was teaching them that, wait a minute. Oh, original man is the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth.
Yes.
This becomes a bulletproof system of thinking when white supremacy is constantly shooting at you.
Yeah.
Physically, mentally, spiritually. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so out there, I know a lot of people know about the Nation of Islam, but to that point, I believe that, you know, everything has to have structure and order and rules.
Yeah.
This generation is going to be a very spiritual generation.
Definitely.
The problem sometimes is that we get so spiritual, but we don't be in the actual real world. We don't have the material power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there are some people so materialistic that they don't have any spiritual compass.
There's no balance.
And so it has to be married with that balance. And it has yeah. to be a study of our nature instead of nurture, you know? And so with apartheid ending in just 1994,
yeah.
that's like literally yesterday.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in the world don't understand how, like, yo, 94, really?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's
like,
yesterday.
I believe you all have an opportunity to, like, brand that and get people to understand, like, no, it was 94.
Mm.
You know, and, like, even if there's an idea to where you can take all the things that was happening in 94,
mm-hmm.
music, courtship, mm-hmm. branding, all the other stuff, and be like, well, apartheid was just ending for us while that was happening for you all.
Yeah.
And that's a way for people to be able to, for one, be empathetic to what's happened over here.
Yes.
Like, people call it third world country, but third world country is just means that it was
previously colonized.
Yeah.
Previously
or not even that. It means that it wasn't democratic, you know, it wasn't a capitalist society. So initially, that's what that meant.
Really?
So the fact that you even look at yourselves as third world is, I don't see, like, there's aspects of it that I believe are first world, as second, third, whatever it may be, but it has to first change the mindset of the environment that you live in, because you all can change the next generation by simply collaborating with each other.
True.
So we live now in a generation where we can collaborate at zero marginal cost to each other. meaning that you have a fixed bill for your cell phone, but you know, now y'all pay for a lot more data out here than we do. So in America, it'd be zero marginal cost, but now you have the cost of data. So you can take the information that you learn and you can teach it to everybody just by utilizing your cell phone. Now they don't have to pay for that education. They can get it for free. So now you've just empowered a whole entire generation that never would have gotten that education with information that they can use now. Right? The same thing with you. You can teach them things to where they can understand the mineral composition of their body and the minerals that exist all around them.
And how things are made.
Exactly. So what that essentially becomes is the collaboration becomes the wealth. Right? Because something that I couldn't afford, I just got it for free by getting it from my brother and my sister for sharing with each other. So now that we exist in a sharing economy, we have the complete ability to revitalize the entire economic paradigm of our landscapes and what we grew up in.
For real.
We have the ability to where, I don't know if you have a iPhone or whatever, but I would find it more imperative that even if it was five people coming together to buy the iPhone and utilize the apps in there to where they can figure out how they can come together and build a business to siphon money from other economies that are stronger than the rand. You know, so therefore you can go on a site and somebody's paying you for a service and they spending you $5, $10, $15, $30, $40 You're creating import-export businesses. That's bringing in money to stimulate the economy that never would have been here because they not creating the opportunities here, so you source them outside. So like for me, it's like the utilization of technology is the empowerment, right? So how are you all implementing technology in your daily lives, and, or how have you seen technology being implemented in your daily lives to start to create and affect change?
I mean, I think I highlighted a bit. I was like, we were raised by a systematically ignorant generation. But times have changed. But there's a bigger problem. Obviously, probably you guys are a bit ahead in the US. You already, if not working on implementing your 5G and whatnot, all these artificial intelligence, emotional intelligence, all this technology moving on. It's gonna present us with few things which are gonna be beneficial, but they already are there. People right now are worried about how not to become slaves. Because people wanna get jobs, people wanna work, which means people really wanna be slaves.
Very good point.
Like, people are really complaining, oh shit. Artificial intelligence, emotional intelligence is going to take our jobs, it's going to do what. That is because of one reason. We have a problem of we've never had time or we've never spent time with ourselves. Like, we don't know who we are. What's going to happen is the artificial intelligence or the world of technology is going to take over. Once it takes over, there's few things which are going to drop. Religion is one of them. Regardless, every sort of religion, because religion is a systematic way of getting you into doing
into
things
it.
In the same way. It's not you realizing things. It's not you awakening
rituals.
To things
no.
on your own. It's you being
it's a
guided.
Direction.
It's like, I tell you, yo, go this side.
Go left.
And there's a problem because I'm taking you there because
I know
that route.
You think there will be artificial, intelligent, generated religions for people to follow?
Not really.
Maybe not religion, but maybe systems.
Yeah, but what we have to understand is...
I know people will start... people worship technology now.
They do.
And
they're
definitely going to be a core systems of people like really worshiping the AI as God.
Yeah. So, for instance, we have religion because of certain things. We are part of nature, and nature is part of us. We exist with nature. There's no way we can exist without nature. That need will always be there as long as we're still alive.
So what's the solution, though?
For you, I'm going there. The need for you to be attached with nature or to keep that contact with nature will always be there. But the system which you live in needs you to be at work 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. You only have 2 days where you chill off. And these 2 days are you supposed to chill. Nature, because you are part of it, you've been absent for the whole week, it's going to need you to repay. But now the trick is, if I give you religion and tell you God created nature,
Do you really think there's a need for you to be in touch with nature because you're in touch with God through prayers? You don't. Religion makes you a good slave because...
it's the middleman.
Yeah. You do not have to be part of nature, whereas it makes you feel as if you are part of nature.
But that's why religion is made.
Yes, the thing is... so now, artificial intelligence and all these technologies are going to take away all that need for you to go to work. You won't have to go to work now. You'll be faced with a need where you now have to think about really God. Okay, so God, what's really happening? And you will get to know where.
And what am I supposed
to
do?
And it's going to be a problem because you ain't never really had time to understand why, where your interests are, other than the interests which were guided by the church, by religion, by everyone we've came across.
So
people can start killing each other.
So we're gonna die. You know, I'm a very solution-based thinker. And there's a lot of people out here who actually understand technology and coding and things of that nature that are very much self-taught as well.
Yeah.
And when we talk about things like artificial intelligence, sometimes we talk about them as if it's already a cataclysmic event that already happened.
Yeah.
Instead of looking at it as a tool that we can also utilize, because what ended up happening with a lot of things that develop, we put it off to white empowerment to take these tools and utilize them against us, and we wait for their plans to be enacted and happen.
Unfold,
Instead of saying, if artificial intelligence is the wave of the future, then let me control the wave of the future.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an empowerment, and then there's also a responsibility for us to learn the things that we know will control us, right? Because there's a lot of people that want to be farmed. They want to be sheep. They want to be controlled. Not everybody wants to be a boss, right? So the goal is get into tech, you know, get into these industries that you know will control other industries, because there's, regardless of artificial intelligence, an artificial intelligence, a sentient being can never have the capability of creativity, the capability of emotions, right? Critical thinking. These are skills for human beings to develop. So we are taught that 70 to 90% of the jobs that only, that will be in the future don't exist for this current generation yet. So what happens is this generation actually has to create the jobs based on the innovation of technology and starts to be futurist and starts to think about where will things be and be innovative in creating those industries and being industry leaders for ourselves. So there's a whole lot of opportunity that exists. The problem is this. A lot of people, not even just that, when you go think about your careers and you go think about your jobs, you're thinking about things in the now instead of things of where they will be. So if you're learning to take a career and you're getting an education, it will be outdated by the time the future comes. And it will be worthless because a machine has already automated that. And anything that can be automated will be. That's the age of AI. You understand me?
But the fourth industrial revolution.
There's nothing more powerful than the black mind and the black spirit. I don't care what kind of AI they create. The reason that they created AI is because white supremacy is on its last legs.
They're lazy. They can't
They die.
There's less white people being birthed today than ever before in history. So if you are losing the majority, what would you like to do? You want to keep power. You don't want to seek power. So I will create an AI machine that allows us to have a majority influence and rulership over people who start to think critical and independent. Because once people think independent, it is impossible for them to be inside a system that they have to be dependent upon.
Yeah.
So you cannot control independent thinking.
No. How?
That's why we have to get to a God consciousness.
I think it's very important for us to not only know ourselves, because as Figo was saying, it's very important that we connect with nature and not have things that are fooling us and making us feel like we are connecting with nature. And also it is important for us to actually learn about AI and this fourth industrial revolution and not be ignorant to what's happening. Like in South Africa, people on their phones, they're more like, they tweet a lot and like,
escapism.
Yeah, it's like more about tweeting silly things and memes. And
do you have really big influencers out here?
We have influencers, a lot of our celebrities are influencers.
What do they influence the people, though, to do?
Stupidity.
Yeah, stupid things, like silly songs.
I mean, that's how we have. There's a, like a 0.1% of, you know,
conscious
positive, enlightened
And in America, it's a lot more, actually, because for me, like, the people that I follow, most of them are actually like American, yeah, the conscious.
That's a funny
in
thing.
In South Africa, there is no, like.
That's a funny thing.
There's yeah. no.
It's like
it's
we,
very
learn,
few.
We learn more about how to be Africans
from you guys.
From Americans
than from our own people.
Like.
Now that's interesting.
Because it goes back to that. Like, we have no interest on what we are. It's like the West has came to set things for us. And that's another tricky thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to have black brothers in the US. But one mistake you black brothers make in the US is you think you are more African than the Africans themselves.
Yeah. That no. is for
it's,
real.
It's a problem because the moment you think like that, it makes you guys tools.
Yes. To appropriation.
To damage Africa even
yeah.
more.
Yeah.
Think of your hip hop industry.
Mm.
It's so big in South Africa. Our music industry is not as big as yours.
Yeah.
All our influences come from your music, your movies, everything.
Mm.
How we dress, everything.
A lot
okay,
of the things.
There and there might be, you know, that those changes, but a lot of things. And it's not from white rappers. It's from black rappers.
Yeah.
Because in Africa, I look at you, oh, that's my brother right there.
Yeah.
But are you really my brother? Because that's another thing.
Hip-hop that we have doesn't currently teach brotherhood. It teaches
yeah.
niggerdom
yeah.
and niggerism. And so hip-hop has effectively went away from godly music, spiritual
educating
conscious music, and
right
it went to negative, low-frequency music. Like I got a good brother named Dr. Wesley, and he breaks down the frequency in the music
yes.
has changed of
yeah.
a lower vibrational frequency
it has.
That is more of death. So
yeah.
ours is death and sex culture. You understand me? So, but here's a solution, because music is a universal language.
Yeah.
When I went to the UK, they were listening to grime, hip hop, house. I come out here, y'all listen to grime, hip hop, house. You know, and go to America, grime, hip hop, house.
Yep.
So I said, wait a minute.
Everyone's listening to the same thing.
If we systematically, we come together and say that we want to embed certain messages in the music, then we have the ability to communicate on
with
a worldwide
other.
Level universally, and we can program each other with more positive agendas and influences if we came together. Have you all heard of the Kardashev scale?
No.
The Kardashev scale deals with planetary systems.
Okay.
So it says that basically if we're looking at it from like an alien civilization,
mm-hmm.
and they looked at America, they would say America is a type zero planetary system, right? Because we get all our energy from dead coals and plants, right?
Okay.
So type one would be more so dealing with us being able to harness the energy of the sun.
Yeah.
Right? So when I look at that, right, hip-hop is a type one brand. Hip-hop is a planetary brand.
Yeah.
Right? It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's so now you have other brands, corporations like McDonald's is a planetary brand.
Mm.
This is very new for civilization to have planetary brands and systems like that.
Mm.
Now that hip-hop has become so powerful as an influencing tool, it has the ability to where we can harness the energy of hip-hop
yeah.
to change the entire world.
Yeah. Legit.
Right? Because the problem with hip-hop is it's a $1 trillion export, but black people don't own it. So somebody else owns our energy and consciousness.
Yeah.
So they owns our message. So yeah. they get to embed the messages and the influence of black people all across the planet Earth.
Hell yeah.
So it's not until we own the industries and become independent of the corporations that we can decide to get on a one line of communication and say, look, this month is the kind of messages we're going to make. This season, the kind of messages we're going to make. And when you put that into the music, subtly embedded, change the frequency, it changed the entire planetary system of the frequency that all black people are on.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I can bring up certain music right now that you all would know it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if I bring up certain speeches from certain political leaders or righteous leaders
yeah,
in our
yeah,
communities,
yeah, yeah.
you won't know it. Right?
Those are suppressed.
Exactly.
You cannot have those people talking to their whole general population about them getting or standing up on their own and
yeah.
try to fight what's against them. But you'd rather have something which tells people that actually, you know, if you can do whatever and get 10 millions, you're going to be good.
Yeah.
But what is 10 millions good for you if your whole community or your whole neighborhood
I
is
feel
still
like
fucked up?
As
you know?
Black people, now in this generation, we need to learn how to own, how to actually start taking ownership of what we feel like is ours, because everything that we bring out is taken. Like, it's so sad. Even like our culture, our hip-hop, mm-hmm. our music, everything.
We don't pay attention.
Yeah,
you know why? You know what? Here's an important thing.
Yeah.
We allow them to middleman the culture, right? Yeah. So this aspect of how black people influence Africans, Africans influence black people. But what we get from Africans, we buy from white people. And what y'all get from black people, y'all buy from white people.
Yeah.
So the reason that there's not this level of appreciation between each other, even though y'all buying into our culture, you're not buying it from us.
You're not buying directly
right.
from each
and
other.
And even though that we're buying into your culture, we're not buying it from you all.
Yeah.
But if we were and we were stimulating each other, then we would understand a different level of appreciation and value towards each other.
Definitely.
Right? Because then we would need each other.
Yes.
But since we don't own it, and even though we're influenced by each other, we're not directly benefiting from this influence.
Definitely.
So the goal is now is to create a line of import and export between each other,
between
and we
us.
Buy the culture directly from the culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we take it out the hands of every single middleman.
Yeah.
And we make our rappers and everybody, we make them seem like suckers if they going up there and they don't own their music.
Yeah.
And they're selling it to us, but somebody else is taking a bigger percentage.
Yeah, bigger cost.
Right? We gotta ask them, nah, are you colonized? Are you a coon? Are you a nigga? Are you a boy?
Yeah.
Are you a slave? Because we don't want to hear no music from none of y'all if you ain't bosses of your own music.
Yeah. Yes.
And if the music is not embedding messages for the culture, then we don't even want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of responsibility we have as consumers to put on those who give us the products.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course, doing for self is 100% important.
Yeah.
And we have the ability to be completely independent of these systems that we've created. And the people, you know, one thing that happened out here, right?
Mm-hmm.
You all had Mandela. We had Obama. You know, Mandela pacified the people at a time where they were up in arms and ready to take over the entire system.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that, you know, you won anything. You were pacified with the token to say that, hey, please chill out. We're going to let one of your revolutionaries go and he's going to act as a symbol. And even Mandela said that I was just a symbol. This is a job for the youth.
Yeah.
You understand me?
He did.
And so you have to understand that, because Obama was our Mandela in a sense, because at a time where we had uprisings against the government, they said, whoa, 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 let's put our old trick in the book.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Let's utilize Obama. It worked in South Africa.
Yeah.
Come on, let's
do it. Let's do it here.
It's the last straw. So we have to remember that we can no longer take Trojan horses. We can no longer trust, you know, a government entities to ever serve our best interests. And we have to delete social contracts with things that don't serve our best interests and start to reconstruct contracts with each other to serve our best interests to be sovereign citizens.
Yeah. Yeah.
So our best interest and self-interest is that of freedom, justice, and equality.
Mm-hmm.
But see, we are at this point now where it's not simply about being free. You know who wants freedom?
Who?
A slave.
Yeah.
So once you get freedom, what do you want? Power.
Yeah.
The one who has power is the one who controls the workforce. The one who controls the workforce has rulership, because you have to come to him.
Yeah.
So even once you get free, now you got to get a job. So you come to the one who has the workforce.
Yeah.
So the goal today is to control the workforce so you can control the power, right? And then it's taking all these corporations that we see in our neighborhoods and we eliminate them. We take the McDonald's out. We take the Shells out. We take all of these corporations and say, wait a minute. For one, you're not giving back anything to us.
Yeah.
We're supporting you and we're stimulating someone else's economy.
Yeah.
Right? So why wouldn't, if we're the dominant entity around here, why wouldn't we just want to own the corporations and have that stimulate us completely 100%?
Yes.
Right? So every time you pump your gas, you know that's going back into your community to revitalize it. How can you consider you to have a third world country, but you have first world corporations that's coming over here eating off the people?
The first world corporations rule the land.
Exactly.
Literally, they do everything. And that's why, like, this whole xenophobia thing that South Africa was going through, I don't know if you guys heard about,
absolutely.
But just recently we were going through xenophobia. And people don't actually know what was really going on. Because
explain
the media,
to people that don't know what xenophobia is, what xenophobia is.
So xenophobia is basically like people from the same continent, like hating on each other when they go into, like, for instance, how people from Zimbabwe come here and then all of a sudden South Africans kind of hate on them and they don't want them there. But people don't actually understand the bigger picture of it all. The South Africans, the reason why they're angry is because they feel like they've been robbed. Like Nelson Mandela, yes, he was a symbol for us, but he didn't really, okay, let me not say it like that.
No. I want you to say it 100%.
He didn't really do anything for us.
There we go.
Let me just be honest.
hey. Don't apologize for telling the truth.
You feel like you was a traitor?
Yeah,
that's how, because there's I speak truth to power, you know, yeah. And there's an importance of our generation speaking the 100 unfiltered, you know, unpolitically correct truth.
Yeah.
You understand me? Because that's how things change, because the next generation hear it and they take that as reality and then they can move and build on that.
Yes.
But if we pacify with, my parents like them, so I don't want to say too much. No.
It's
right?
not going to work.
So like, we tell the truth about Obama. Obama, like I said, he was a symbol for us, but he didn't give us anything.
Yeah.
And some people say that it was our fault because we didn't ask him for the right things. We gave him the vote without wanting any real action behind it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he was the first black president to bomb Africa. So it's terrible, you know.
Yeah.
And one thing I do respect about Nelson Mandela that I will give him credit for is he stuck by Gaddafi. You know, he stuck by Fidel Castro,
yes.
You know, and I forget the other leader at the time. And that was something when he went to the UK and he was talking to Tony Blair about, you know, Gaddafi, he made him understand a little bit from Gaddafi's position.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to that particular aspect, we don't, you know, we it's a saying called eat the meat, spit out the bones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, for the vegans, we eat the fruit and spit out the seeds. Let's talk about, but we definitely take the best parts, you know, and we settle on the best part. That's something that we say in the Nation of Islam. We settle on the best part of our people.
Yeah.
But we won't take the whole if it's not good for us.
Actually, I'm sorry to cut you here. Just
no,
to add a bit on Mandela.
Because you kind of look like Mandela. I was going to say that. So don't talk too bad about it.
Actually, for the longest time, I had that idea of him being a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
Mandela sold us art, he never gave us whatever we wanted. But then after some time, around campus, I was talking to them.
I think we were having the chair.
I was with you.
Yeah, I think we were having the chair.
Yeah, I was talking to them guys. I'm like, have you guys realized how much politics have killed youth? More especially, I was just talking about South Africa. I'm like,
okay.
Look at our campus.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at every politically affiliated student.
Yeah.
Every politically affiliated civilian in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to say this, but they will amount to nothing good in future. No one is useless.
Mm-hmm.
But those are people who would never become anything. We will cry of corruption. Corruption is bred through the foundations of politics, which is student politics.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, they're not about empowering.
Yeah.
I asked this other guy this other day, I'm like, my guy, so say for instance, you wanted to F7 people, the F7 people.
Okay.
So F7 is like academically excluded. So you normally go through the political structures for you to get a hearing, whatever, and sometimes reversed and all that.
Yeah.
Normally, this thing can be reversed without involving any political person.
Sure.
You can literally go there, if you know who you're supposed to go to, you can literally go there, talk to that person, and then you'll be good. Because
mm-hmm.
no one can argue your case more than you can.
Mm.
But these guys will literally take you, do all the talking for you there, step out, call you to come and confirm that whatever he said was true. You don't even know what this guy said. I'm like, Makai, that has never been empowering. Empowering has never came out like that.
Mm.
If you tell me that you got F7, go to that door.
What is F7 for my people who don't know, and I don't know?
Oh, okay. F7 is like a University of Johannesburg code for academically excluded people.
So if
you fail more than 50% of your modules, academic mm-hmm. modules, you'll be given an F7 code on
so
your academic transcript.
So you basically
transcript.
Have to leave you're the excluded university. From
school. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so, but you can obviously, you know, try to protest it, whatever you do. But I was actually on the Mandela issue before I detoured. So, I was looking at the African countries. We're the youngest democracy in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is older. There's no stable country in Africa other than South Africa. And I'm not saying this because I'm trying to you know, trying to look good.
Yeah, Gauteng, isn't it one of the wealthiest provinces in Africa? Yeah.
It is, yes.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to look down on them, other African countries, but this is what Mandela saw. South Africans would have wanted money, would have wanted economical freedom at that time, would have wanted free education, would have wanted all free things.
Yeah.
Which,
you want our land
rightfully,
back.
they deserved.
Yes.
But let's look at it, because we are a big community, an African community, right? What's happening in Congo? Mm-hmm. What's happening in Central Africa? What's happening in Nigeria? Mm-hmm. What's happening in Ghana? In all these African countries, before our democracy, mm-hmm. they got everything they wanted. Mm-hmm. Their presidents gave them everything they wanted. Patrice Lumumba gave Congolese everything in Congo. Mm-hmm. All them, Jomo Kenyatta in Kenya, all these guys gave these people whatever people asked for. At the end, it never turned out as how people had anticipated things to be. Come to the South African story. Mandela being the smart guy he's always been. Mm-hmm. All our struggle heroes, all our freedom fighters, all of them were in exile. Why? And people have never asked themselves, why were these guys in exile? It's not because they were trying to fight for us. These guys were trying to stay safe.
Yeah.
These guys were not trying to get killed.
Yeah.
Because they knew if in South Africa and you're having a voice, you're going to get killed. And if things go right in the future, you'll be dead. You won't eat. What do you think our government, our politics is run by all former prisoners?
Yeah.
No one wants to let go of power. Because this is what Mandela saw at that time. Because these guys were in his group. Mm-hmm. He could see these guys. These people, this country would end up exactly like them other African countries if they can get what they want. They need to acquire value for things on their own. If they want free education, they should fight for free education on their own terms. Mm-hmm. Not this generation I just
save.
Got this for. The coming generations, those are the people who would have an understanding of what's
of
really
the
happening.
Value.
Of the value. Look at how we've been pushing the fees must fall thing.
True.
It's been going smooth because it's not about anyone. It's about this generation.
It's
this generation driving it. He actually did say it. A luta continua.
Yeah.
Well, to the point of, you know, Youth are the one who sparked the first, you know, uprising as
even
well.
Even the 76 uprising.
All right.
That was the youth.
But our freedom fighters, our struggle guys, they came after 76. They came back. They claimed everything.
So it was
them who then fought.
This is one of the
they
big
took
issues.
Everything now.
You
but
know,
people who were inside the country fighting, getting shot, getting killed, are nowhere recognized.
You hit the nail on the head when you say people who got power don't want to give it up. And this is one of the most dangerous things in our community because it's not about the individual.
Yeah.
And this is where we lose a lot because an individual props themselves up in a position for being an activist, for being a revolutionary.
Yeah.
And then once they get
names.
That power and they get that influence, they start to feel themselves. Mm. And it becomes less about the results and more about empowering themselves
instant
to a position.
So
when there's a youth that may seem to be more significant, that can produce a better change, they don't want to relinquish the spotlight to that youth to empower them and to stand behind them.
Yes.
Even though that's how they empower themselves. So there's an individualistic mindset that's embedded into our so-called revolution that we perpetuate our own oppression with that. And we kill it and have to restart over every generation because that same egoistic mentality continues to be perpetuated.
I honestly feel like the individualism is killing Africans the most.
Because we are tribal people. We are meant to work together.
And we're out here busy. White people are doing exactly everything we think they are doing.
Yeah.
But we're giving them way too much credit than they deserve.
Honestly,
yeah. Way too much.
White supremacy will thrive regardless if we focus on it or not.
Yeah.
Black excellence will not thrive if we don't focus on it.
Exactly.
So we can complain until we are pale in the face and we look white
honestly,
about them. But if we're not producing a solution, loving each other, protecting each other, providing empowerment to each other, we lose. Right now, we have a problem in America to where everybody's becoming these celebrity activists, celebrity revolutionaries.
It's the same thing and, even here in South Africa, bro.
And the ego is mounting.
Yeah.
And when we have the ability to empower each other and be in rooms with each other to say, like, you know what? I don't want to do this alone. Let me bring my brother in. Because the more of us, the more powerful we become. But instead, we allow them to tokenize us and it's just one in the room. Because it's easier to control one.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But when you let everybody in the room, then that's real power. Yes. But if it's just one speaking for the people outside the room, then that's dangerous.
It is.
Because then they think it, you know, maybe if this person turns. I did the dab on that one. So I call it the WeGo.
The WeGo.
So I co-founded a group called The Shifters, and it's short for Paradigm Shifters.
Nice.
And we travel around the country and we work together, and we all have our own respective platforms.
That's you.
And we have our own respective influences.
Yeah.
But what we do is we put up our own money to travel together and teach Black people around the world how to shift their mindset, how to start businesses, cultivate spirituality, consciousness, a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
And it can never be about the individual. So, because we know ego kills organization every single time.
It does.
So instead of bragging about what I do, having to be the one that I always have to be out front, the goal is to say, no, let's brag about what we do, because it's very hard to come together. So when you see a group of Black men and Black women working together, you say, how the hell did they do that?
Yeah.
I know how hard it is to work with these big-headed people.
Right?
We can barely walk through the door. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So now the point is trying to figure out how do we get to this place to where we understand that, for one, the internet is one big collaborative system anyway. That's all we do on the internet.
Connect.
Listen, an influencer is nothing without the followers.
Yeah.
The influencer collaborates with the followers. That's what you do. The likes, the comments, the shares, that is a collaboration.
Social media is about
you're putting
connection.
It out there. But you can never be so full of yourself that you forget to tap in. And each individual, we call that, my brother Dr. Wesley coined this, called the Black God Protocol.
Yeah.
To where each individual has a specialty, has a frequency, has a spectrum inside them that I don't have. So even if I master this godliness inside myself, I still have to bow down to you because you have something I don't have.
Yeah.
But if I'm so full of myself and my cup is running over, then I can never take in what you have.
Definitely.
And so the frequency is all of us working together, right? So we can be young, rich, Black gods across this planet Earth. And that's how it works. So I want to leave on this. In America, there's a lot of ignorance as to what Africa is.
You know,
because... people come out here and they never show Africa. They never end. Here's the problem I have with tourism out here, is that you constantly want to jump around from place to place instead of steep in one place and get to know it for a minute.
Yeah, what's
and
really
I think
happening.
That's the issue, is that, no, let me jump over there to say I was in this country. Then let me go here to say I was in this country.
Yeah.
But you have to spend time with the people. You have to talk to the people. You have to go around. You have to observe. You have to listen.
Yeah.
Learn their culture.
These people are scared of Africans that you walking past. And they don't even, sometimes they don't even know you're from America until you start talking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they just thought, it's so many Black people out here, they don't know that you're not from here.
Yeah,
you know?
You Black
to us.
They used to see all Black people all day. And all type of Black people. Somebody asked me about Arabic. I'm like, oh yeah, they used to seeing so many different type of Black people. It wasn't until, you know, you speak more and then you give them more of your accent. They said, are you from the States? And I'm like, yeah, y'all, I'm from Cali. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So that, I think that's like an important thing. But what message would you give to Black Americans I don't know, just as a bridge to where they can understand that there's not an animosity or a hatred. Mm-hmm. We may have ignorance on both sides about who we are, but all of our experience out here was love and energy. You know what I mean? They call me Budi. Budi kids.
Budi
means brother. You know what I'm talking about? And every time I talk to a brother and they see an Arabic or something, they be like, oh, you Muslim? And they say, oh, you my brother. Mm. But they make it seem as if you all hate Black Muslims in America. That's the mentality that has been spilled to us. Or they make it seem like you don't like Black people, period, in America.
Why?
That has been something that always been a dividing gap to keep Black people from coming over here. So everybody wants to go to Europe
and see that rusty-ass
Eiffel Tower instead of come out here and tap in. where I went to Adam's Calendar, and you know that's the oldest megalithic site in the world. But most people never even heard of it. Mm. When I went to the Apartheid Museum, I seen something that was on the wall that was talking about We Are the Walkers, I believe, and it was talking about how there was 77,000 euro geometrical shapes that we used to utilize in order to communicate between each other. Mm-hmm. And when you think about that and how advanced and how sophisticated that system is, because for one, to speak in geometrical shapes is a very complex mathematical thought process.
It is.
But we think of ourselves through the lens of white supremacy, so we think of ourselves as uncivilized and primitive.
Yeah.
You understand me? Instead of understanding that even those people that are in the tribes, they have a level of sophistication that people that live in cities don't even have. If you are out of touch with nature, then you can never be as civilized and you can never be as advanced as the people that are in touch with nature. Because you have to go to another man and another doctor in order to teach you how to heal yourself.
Yes.
They can go directly to the earth and know exactly what plants and what herbs are good to remineralize the body and heal the body. So who is out of touch and who is more advanced?
Yeah.
So we have to stop viewing civilization through the lens of white supremacy, and we have to go back to our nature and view it through the lens of our own God consciousness.
Definitely.
Actually, I think we've mistaken.
Oh, but you, I be talking so much. I've been, y'all tell black Americans, you know what I mean, what y'all working with.
No. I think we've mistaken civilization with westernization.
Right.
More especially on this part of earth, like in Africa. We think being civilized is becoming white or becoming more of a European or Western. And
white civilization is to cover up their savagery.
Yeah.
So think about this before I'm going to let you finish. But if you look at, you know, the table spread, they have a million forks, spoons, one for pudding and one for rice. It's you wear these fancy suits and all these other different things, but behind that is the lowest level. Like, we had chattel slavery. Chattel slavery was the worst level of human depreciation possible. Right? It took you and stripped you of every essence of being that made you a human. Right? It robbed you of your ability to think, your ability to eat, your ability to have your own religion, your own name. It tortured you. It raped the men. It raped the women. You know, it separated the men and women. It killed, and it was just the most horrific form.
Yeah.
Right? And out there, we have this thought process to say, well, Africans enslaved Africans, but it wasn't even the same. I think that we should need a different name. For one, for what happened out here and what happened out there.
Definitely.
Because to cast them together as both forms of slavery is not even fair, right? Which is the reason we call something prison and one slavery, even though prison industry is slavery as well. But when you get to the essence of what happened to black Americans, which is why we try to be more African than y'all, because we're trying to connect.
Yeah.
I went to the UK with the Queen Diambia of the Congo. And, you know, she's a queen by royalty, by being able to connect her bloodline to the land.
Yes.
We can't do that in America.
Yeah.
So we tap inward to our DNA because we can't connect to the land.
Yes.
Right? So we can't claim the king and queen status. So we tap into that God molecule that exists within us. Mm-hmm. You understand me? And so there's a different level of consciousness and self-identity that produces our consciousness.
Yeah.
But when it comes to bridging the gap between Africans and black, for one, we have to stop comparing our experiences as if
it's a competition.
And as if like you all had anything to, well, in a framework that modern Africans are responsible for black slavery, right? Chattel slavery. And I think that that's where a disconnect lies, because instead of seeing our open enemy that's right in front of us, we think about people that are across the pond and you're mad at them for something that they didn't do for us. When today our generation has to start just bridging the gap and figuring out how we can work together, right? That form of slavery that existed out here is not the same form of slavery that existed where we was. Yeah. You understand me? Yeah. And if you don't educate yourself, you'll always be ignorant. And ignorance is what causes the divide and creates the slaves.
Yes.
And the slaves hate the next slave.
Yeah.
And the way that they feel empowered is by putting another slave down because they can't put the master down.
Yeah.
You understand me? So we have to remember, for one, we have to become masters and then work with each other. You understand me? But I relinquish and I sit back and I'll let you guys speak. But yeah, just a message to black America.
I think Black America, y'all have no idea how much we love you here in Africa, actually. Like, we look up to Black Americans so much, and a lot of the things that we do and our culture and everything is very much inspired by what you guys do, because the fact that you guys are able to tap into that God molecule, into your DNA, that's beautiful. To be able to be so far away from your home, from your land, but to still come back and to find who you are, that is something that we can all learn. Even though we're here in Africa, there's a lot of Africans who are lost. They also don't know where they're from, or where their roots are, or where they actually belong in the land here on its own. So we have to actually learn from each other. Like, instead of hating on each other, we should learn how to communicate and to connect with one another and to inspire one another, and not to be like, you know what, we're better than you, or, you know, we're doing things better, because it's not like that. A lot of your culture is also inspired by Africa, because you guys are Africans. So you can't help but be inspired by who you are, and we can't help but be inspired by who you guys are, because you guys are who we are. We're all one thing. So it's very important that we come back and we realize that we are one and we are united. We are not separated. We have been separated, yes, but we don't have to live like that. Mm. We can come back and love each other. I think the most important thing is love. Africa was very much about love, and, you know, that was like the main thing that we would make sure that is amongst us. That was the common thing, Ubuntu. Ubuntu is actually love, loving one another. And we need to come back to that, coming back to that simple base love, like, of my brother and my sister, even though we're far and everything is happening, we need to love one another.
Mm, that's beautiful. My brother.
Yeah, most definitely what she says is pretty much
correct.
Because I feel like Black Americans, if that's correct.
African-American.
Because I think there's even a confusion.
Well, you know, the term African-American was actually coined by Jesse Jackson. And Jesse Jackson is not considered a reputable leader for Black people. So those who consider themselves to be of the woke caliber, enlightened. Some people call themselves Moore. Some people call themselves Black.
Yeah, but know, I mean, so, you guys on that side of the planet are... I mean, you have all this access. You reach things earlier than us, you know.
Y'all are great with manifestation.
Yeah, y'all are a bit advanced. Y'all manifest not even a so bit. Quickly. Y'all are advanced on things. Information, you got archives, you got information you could not really tap into. What you guys need to remember is when Africa was invaded, everything was taken away from Africa. You guys stand a better chance of discovering our information, which is hidden on your side, on this side. This side we have
the leftovers,
the blood information, we have the lead information, we have information which was told to us, which we cannot really provide so much evidence of because it had to be taken away. People who took it away are people who run your corporates, which runs your countries, Britain, America, all of them. You guys have means of getting this information. I've listened to your KRS-Ones and all these conscious brothers which have been even rappers. They have a way of giving the information, but they also have a way of thinking if they come this side of Africa, they will get more information on their backgrounds. I doubt you guys can get information on your DNAs and everything here. What you can get here is principles. What you can get here is
proof.
Yes. How it is to be Black.
Right.
How it feels to be Black. You know, you guys can be Black, but honestly, you might, I think I heard you say in America, they might teach you that we don't like Black Muslims. You don't like really Black people, which are in the America. Somehow there is that element. It can't be true. It's not entirely true. Because we can look at you and be like, these guys are Black, but they're acting white.
Right.
You know,
and that's very to that thought process. There are a lot of Black people with Black skins, but with white minds.
And subliminally, me seeing you acting white and me being Black and understanding that this guy is Black, but how can he be white in his actions? I guess it's acceptable. So that kind of thing. But then again,
the Eurocentric and the Afrocentric mindset is the duality of the Black American and the experience that we have.
That brings more confusion to whoever is just observing.
Right. And see,
yeah,
that I think that's very powerful. What we have is, I call it the, you know, you have the white dream or the American dream, and then you have your black dream.
Mm-hmm.
Your black dream encompasses things that you do for spiritual purposes, things that fulfill you.
Yeah.
Your American dream are things that will fulfill you from materialistic things,
yeah.
and to where you can be compensated for your skills and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And in between there, you have to learn how to balance that duality of thinking.
Yeah.
Right? Because one allows you to produce the life. One allows you to sustain the life.
Yeah.
You know, so being that we live in America, there are some people who get so ingrained into capitalism in white America that they essentially become white Americans with black skin.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I consider my definition of black. Black means original, mm-hmm. right? Meaning that it is a frequency, right, of thinking.
Yeah.
That is attached to our original nature. And our original nature is that like of a baby, which is good, right? Which means that you're righteous. So if I meet a brother who is evil, you are just as a black devil to me as you could be a black God.
Yeah.
But if I meet one that is good, that is my brother, right? So when we talk about the word black, we're talking about people that are tapped into their original nature.
Yeah.
Not just people who have melanin, because melanin is all, you got melanin and you melanin, and that's all across the planet Earth.
Yes.
But we only vibrate with those individuals who are tapped into the same spectrum of thinking that we have. So if your mind is not black, then you are not black.
Yeah.
And the opposite of black, of course, is white. So that's why when we see a black body with a white mind, we know that we're not on the same frequency.
Mm-hmm.
that might as well be a black man painted with a white face.
Yeah.
You understand me? Mm-hmm. And so that is the danger, is that black Americans have too many people inside their mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this is where our issue exists. Even the way we're starting to view gender is through a white woman's mind.
Yeah.
You understand me? And so we have white matriarchal supremacy and we have white patriarchal supremacy. And so now you have the issues between black men and black women is the fact that if you don't agree with the totality of a white woman's thinking that is connected to the intersectionality of women's rights, or if you don't agree with the gay white man thinking that is connected to the intersectionality of gay rights, then there can be an issue between us.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to have a conversation based on our nature and who we are, because the first thing we were fighting for was, for one, freedom. You understand? Two, civil rights. Civil rights involve black men and black women working together to produce the rights that will be for the betterment of our people and our family structure.
Yeah. Yes.
So we have lost our family structure because we allowed everybody to be in between.
To come and tell us.
And the one person who is not in between the women's rights and the LGBT rights is the heterosexual black man.
Yeah.
So masculinity is effectively being effeminated through the food, through the water, through the programming, the media, the politics.
Everything.
It's being demonized, scrutinized, and criticized in every element of the way. There's
so
a movie that's
South
coming
Africa
out right now.
Like, it's actually what's
this
what's
is what
happening
our country is
right
suffering
now.
From right now.
Mm,
in South Africa, you cannot
it's
tell women
bad.
Anything.
Well, no, it's not like that.
Okay, no, it is. I mean, bro, literally. You can, for instance, try to reason with South African women. Tell them, okay, South African women will tell you, problem in South Africa is our men. Our men are not taught, our men are what? Like, okay. But what happens when you guys do this? I mean...
No, like we had a whole hashtag men are trash. It was a whole thing for a very long time, and
it still is.
It's better. It's better now because women are like okay. The problem is feminism. I think
absolutely
we can't have
because
a system
we
where
we did not create it for one.
No.
You can't have a system where the females
are like, oh, we have this.
So here's the thing, right?
It's divided.
There's these shirts that go around and they said the future is female.
Yeah.
Now that's an impossibility.
Yeah.
Right? The future can't be male, it can't be female.
No.
So they say the future of female is kind of like a lesbian statement. Say the future is male is like a homosexual statement. If it was a man wearing that shirt.
Yeah.
The future has to be female and males working together.
Yes.
That is the only balanced, collaborative future that is healthy for us.
Yes.
So even when we put out these statements, these are toxic within themselves. So what exists in a lot of men and what exists in a lot of women? So in America, they talk about toxic masculinity.
Mm.
This term came from a white gay man and a straight gay man
that
created this term in America. And it has been spread as propaganda against black masculinity, especially because black masculinity is the most dangerous form of masculinity to the world, because that is godliness.
Yeah.
So what ended up happening is that when you think about the toxicity The toxicity really is in that when men are not in touch with that masculine element of themselves.
Yeah.
Because that masculine element is a protector, a provider, a producer, a one who implements his willpower, one who learns how to manage himself. That is manhood. But see, the issue is that there's a lot of men who are more effeminate and they don't understand the feminine aspect of themselves.
Yeah.
So they become emotional. And in this emotional outburst, they try to use their masculine bravado because of their ignorance to their feminine, right? And so if there's not a balance of masculine and feminine, then of course there's going to be an issue, right? But the problem with men is the toxic femininity within them. Mm-hmm. Not the toxic masculinity,
mm-hmm.
right? And the problem with the women is the toxic masculinity because they start to think to act like a man and things of that nature, but
yeah.
they don't act like the healthiest version of divine masculinity. They act like the very man that they put down.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
this is yeah. the issue.
It's like you it's take the very same shit you behave
in men and toxic masculinity in women. And so it's not until that we get back to our divine order, what I call the God triarch. You understand me? It's men and women working together side by side. And
yeah.
that's how we win. Right. And as we can see, this problem persists all around the world.
Yeah.
But see, the people, the problem is that we didn't create feminism. We didn't create these ideas. What would the planet look like if black people ran it? Would
yeah.
these same words, these same toxic issues be ran and spilled about as propaganda? Or will we get more so in tune with our nature from our ancestral line when black men and black women have been working together for millions of years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? But we allow people that came in between us for the last 400 years or so to tell us how our relationship should be formed yeah. in order for us to have a more progressive future.
And how we should act as well. I feel like one thing that we should not forget is that as a man and as a woman, we possess both the energies.
Absolutely.
You have both masculine and feminine energy, and so do I. And there's no way that you can separate the two. That's where now you get this
aggression.
And they're
equal force.
Yeah, and they're equal force. So we actually need to learn how to balance it, not only amongst each other, but within ourselves. You need to learn how to balance that energy within you, that masculine energy within me. How do I balance it with my feminine energy so that I don't get upset when I see a man being a man
yeah.
and I feel like, why yeah. is he being like this? Because I don't actually understand the energy myself. The energy
right.
that I embody myself.
Right. And another thing is that manhood has to be retaught, right? Because a lot of males don't know what manhood is.
Yeah.
yeah.
So this is a huge problem as well. So they just grow into anything almost.
Yeah,
or whatever,
yeah.
they,
whatever
they
whatever
watch.
Whatever direction.
Yeah.
So manhood has to be taught based on the characteristics and principles that embody manhood.
Yeah.
But today, manhood is now being skewed as an image of gender fluidity.
Yeah.
Right? So now they would say, oh, a man wears a dress. This is the new masculinity.
Yeah.
How is that even possible? If you really had an agenda that was healthy for us, you would say, no, the new masculinity is being a provider, a protector, is being empathetic, is having great mental health, is taking care of your business and your family and things of that nature.
Yes.
But those are not the things that they're pushing behind as masculinity. They're pushing an image of fluidity
yeah.
because they know that that effeminates you.
Yes.
And the last thing I want to say is that you all's legal drinking age out here is 18.
Yeah.
They told me that even though it's 18, you know, the laws are still, they don't really wear. So people really start around like 12 years old.
Yeah.
Right? Now, we have this in our country too sometimes.
Too old.
But from what I know is South Africa is some of the biggest consumers of alcohol in the world.
Yeah.
Now, there's an issue with alcohol consumption, and now you have the legalization of marijuana and the weed industry.
Yeah.
For one, the weed is over-chemicalized, right?
Hmm.
And so the same thing with the alcohol. What this does is, this is more from, y'all got to look up Dr. Wesley. He's very powerful on this subject. And he talks about how there's chemicals within both of them that inhibit the production of
DMT.
No, not DMT. The thing that creates, you know, testosterone,
okay.
oh.
right? So what it does is it effeminates your body. Right? So
wow.
that the male that is constantly drinking, he has less willpower, right? Less focus, less of those things that make him a determining man.
Wow.
You understand me? So the fact that, you know, you give the people weed, you give the people liquor, that's going to keep them subdued for another 50, 100 years.
True.
You understand me? So I believe one of the biggest things that you either do is soberize yourself and not continue to create a culture of alcoholism, because it won't allow this generation to empower themselves long
yeah.
enough to actually have a working revolution.
Yeah.
You understand me? And so the weed is dangerous because now that is, it is being legalized, you're going to have all these corporations that implement these chemicals.
Yeah.
And weed is another thing that is going to be inhibiting that production of testosterone and then inhibiting the production of estrogen as well. Mm. So it's effectively messing up our whole physiology and biological system, which affects the way that we think.
Yes.
So it's important that you even look at that. Then you have the McDonald's is still huge out here.
Yeah.
You understand me?
KFC.
They're trying to
KFC.
Sell you KFC. That stuff has
huge.
Soy in it, right? It, how can the fact that you all have land and farming and y'all have the ability to create your own foods, yet they're trying to sell you organic foods at higher prices?
That's
when
what they do.
You got a peach tree in your backyard.
Yeah.
It doesn't even make sense. Now, we have food deserts. We have food deserts to where it's much easier to get a piece of chicken than it is an apple, right? So they poison us. We have a lot of Arabs and a lot of Chinese that come into our communities and create liquor stores, which I'm sure exists out here as well. But they do, and that's considered to be haram to them, but they sell it to us.
Yeah.
So one of my goals for 2020 is we go around to all of those stores and we kick them out everywhere that they exist. And we put in food bodegas, which are places that sell fruits and vegetables. Yeah. And we make the availability of food that has minerals and nutrients more available to our people.
Yeah.
Because we're
more
starving and we're dying and that's killing us,
right?
And that's why we can't get the proper willpower. We can't think the proper thoughts, right? To will ourselves and to manifest a better existence for ourselves. So we have a lot of issues that surround all of that. And those are some of the biggest issues that we can get to. Because if you can control the way what a person eats, you can control what a person thinks.
Yep.
You understand me?
Yeah. We're all what we eat.
Listen, they told us we only had 25 minutes. We had to fight the security guards to get here. It was dope. One of the security guards knew who I was, and he just wanted a selfie. That's why he was being so tough on us. But I had a very enlightening conversation with you two. And more of these conversations need to be had because, you know, communication breeds understanding. Understanding breeds acceptance.
Yeah.
And it's not until we understand each other that we can accept each other. So when we have these conversations that are heard across the planet Earth, then they understand that, wait a minute, they think just like us. We think just like them.
Yeah.
And that commonality builds that bridge. Because when we connect all the black people across the planet Earth, we become the majority rule. And that's the goal. Time to get us some power. It's been 19 Keys. Tell them where you can find yourselves again.
I'm actually not like on social media right now, but
that education.
But like, yeah, as soon as I do that,
we'll get her IG hooked up. She's studying minerals.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people who are now on YouTube and now on Facebook and IG who've never studied metallurgy and minerals, but claim to be experts. So I would love to hear my sister that has, you know, an education in it, you know, expound on it so we can get that from you.
Yeah, I would love to do that.
My brother, can you, I know you're going to say it, but can you spell it out for the people?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can reach me on Fikronachi, Figronacci. It's Fikronachi.
Fikronachi like Fibonacci.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's everywhere, actually, on my Twitter, my IG, Facebook as well. You'll find me there. Same name. Yeah, just, I guess, our last word would be, let's try to be conscious of our environment.
Let's
be aware of each other and our surroundings. That way, it's the only way we can try to build and become better.
And spread love. Let us spread love.
Must know what it is.
Peace. Oh, that was amazing.
That was beautiful. Oh my God, I feel amazing.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.